The first reading is from Malachi chapter 4. See, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The day that comes shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who revere my name, the Sun of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. The word of the Lord.
Our Holy Gospel, this 26th Sunday after Pentecost, comes from the Gospel of Luke in the 21st chapter. When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." They asked him, "Teacher, when will this be, and what will be the sign that this is about to take place?" And he said, "Beware that you are not led astray. For many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and 'the time is near.' Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first, but the end will not follow immediately." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places famines and plagues, and there will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. But before all this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance, for I will give you words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair on your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. At first read, our Gospel this morning seems to be one that entirely suggests a frightening reality. Not one stone will be left upon another. There will be wars and insurrections, earthquakes, famines, plagues. And yet, with all of this happening, Jesus tells his disciples not to be terrified. And it's interesting that Jesus uses the word terrified. We've heard Jesus tell his disciples to fear not, but he's never used such strong language as terrified. Maybe it's the nature of the violence that Jesus foretells that suggests terror. Maybe it's the fact that Jesus knows that the familiar will be completely gone that causes him to use such language. But regardless, in the midst of the potential for terror, Jesus offers words of hope. Not a hair on your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls. But what if I told you that this promise by Jesus at the end of our text wasn't really the only sign of hope in our gospel this morning? What if I told you that something potentially traumatic could also be a sign of great hope? Now remember at the beginning of our gospel reading today, Jesus tells his disciples regarding the temple, not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down. At first it doesn't sound especially hopeful, does it? But maybe that's because we're looking at the temple through the eyes of the privilege that the disciples and the religious authorities of that day have. For them, the temple is simply a place of worship, and apparently also a place to be proud of due to the splendor of the renovated temple that was overseen by Herod the Great just a few decades earlier. But strangely enough, Jewish males aren't the only ones who would have an opinion on the temple. It is the only one we hear this morning. The temple was built in such a fashion that only certain people were allowed to enter into certain portions. If you were a part of the priestly caste of that day, you could enter into the inner chambers. If you were a high priest for that year, you were allowed to enter into the holiest of holies, where it was believed that God's presence broke into the world through the holy tabernacle. But if you weren't a part of the priestly caste, you were forced to wait a little bit further back. Now, if you were born a Jewish male, you could get pretty deep into the temple, but if you weren't a Jewish male or had converted to the faith as an adult and were actually from a different culture originally, you only had limited access to the temple. Now, this is a world where not all are made equal. And if you were a woman, you were probably relegated to the outermost layers of the temple, perhaps the courtyard where you could give offerings and buy sacrifices at the temple market. But because of this social order, the very walls of the temple were signs of separation between people. And because the disciples were given access to so much of the temple, they probably didn't even realize the privileges that they carried simply by being born who they were. This is why the temple walls being cast down could be seen by some people as actually a sign of hope. Because for so many people, every aspect of society was designed to categorize people into different, often separate categories, different groups. And sometimes those separate groups could then be defined as us and them. We get a little bit of a sense of this from our reading in Malachi today. The prophet compares the concept of all the arrogant and evildoers to you who revere the Lord's name. For Malachi, there is injustice in the world. And we can read this text and see the clear difference between those who are arrogant and evildoers and those who revere God's name. But it's quite possible as well that those who acted arrogantly were also ones who still revered God's name. Those who were unjust in their dealings with some others would still attempt to act righteously in relationship with God. They could also be us. Now, this concept of us versus them is one I've spent a lot of time reflecting on this past week, especially in light of our recent election. I'm sorry, we do have to talk about it a little bit today. Now, it doesn't take a political science major to see how divided our nation is at this time. One candidate won the popular vote by the smallest of margins, and yet the other candidate is preparing to become our nation's president through the Electoral College system. Now, in this case, some people are thinking that them is the Electoral College system, or perhaps third parties or those who choose to stay home on election day. And unless you've stopped reading or watching the news for the past several days, which I wouldn't necessarily blame you, you've all heard about the recent unrest in our world, in our nation, and even locally. Just in the past couple of days, there have been reports of people protesting Donald Trump's election in Santa Fe. In the meantime, reports of racist and Islamophobic incidents have drastically increased in the days following the election. It might be privileged versus the less privileged. Maybe it's white versus everybody else, male versus female, Christian versus those we perceive as not Christian. It seems we always find a them, don't we? But if we take seriously that the walls of the temple, the walls that divided people, are brought down as a sign of hope, then we are forced to confront the fact that maybe, just maybe, the us versus them narrative no longer applies. Maybe they are us and we are them. Maybe it's time for people of faith to rise up as one and recognize that we are all going to fall short. We are all part of a system in our society that tends to devalue the other. But the walls coming down tells us that the other can no longer be separate from us. We who are privileged in this society, and many of us are, white male here, privilege 101, can no longer use our privilege as a reason to remain silent. We can no longer say it doesn't affect us, and thus not worry about the them. For in God's kingdom, we are all them. We can no longer point the finger at the worst elements of our society and say it's all on them, because it affects all of us. here in this nation and in this world. We are called to live together and work together, not for our own benefit, but so that all may benefit. We are called to recognize the brokenness in our society that causes racism and misogyny and all other sorts of prejudice, and then to speak out against them. Because as much as we would all like to say otherwise, it still affects all of us. Because we are called to live into a kingdom where there is no longer a them. But if there is no them, that means we can't simply point the finger at those who commit unjust actions in our world and say that they need to change their ways. If we do that, then we aren't owning the fact that they are a part of us. If we are to take God's promises seriously, that the Sun of Righteousness shines down on us, then we must see that the Sun of Righteousness reveals everything, the hurts and the fears that are so often behind the brokenness in our world. Healing can only happen when all become reconciled to one another through Christ Jesus, not just those in our preferred worldview. I'll be honest, it isn't easy to get out of the us versus them mode. It isn't easy to see walls coming down as a sign of all, truly all, being made equal in the eyes of God. I'll admit, I'm not fully there yet. But this is the challenge set before us in this new age that we are all living into. We are all called to be better. We are all called to live more fully into God's kingdom of welcome for all God's children. And ultimately, this present future of God's kingdom has not fully been realized yet. It most likely won't be realized in our lifetimes. But that day is coming. God's day is coming. And on that day, God's reconciling work will be complete. May we who are all gathered here this day continue God's healing work for all God's people. And in continuing the work that God has put before us, we all have gained our souls through the promise that we receive in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.